that we would call, if it exists, Bein HaMitzarim. In the end, we made a kind of a dual claim. So we said that the truth is that there isn't great evidence in the Bavli and in the many of the Rishonim, but in terms of the expansion of Minhagi Ashkenaz, and in a very limited way for the Mechaber as well, the Mechaber has the din of Leile Chichidi, has the din of Hakas HaTalmidim, and those are sourced respectively to the Medrash Tehillim and the Eicha Rabbati, as having their own sources. Probably the most prominent feature in the Shulchan Aruch was the question of Shachianu, which, as you saw in the Makoros for today, is actually from the Sefer HaChasidim. So it doesn't come from Chazal, but it does come from the early Rishonim. And the claim that we made was twofold yesterday. So A, we claimed that one way of thinking about this period is a kind of a tip of the cap to Shiva Asar B'Talmuz, as a quasi Tisha B'Av in its own right. Chamisha Dvarim Iris Avoseinu B'Shiva Asar B'Talmuz, V'Chamisha Dvarim Iris Avoseinu B'Tisha B'Av. And just like you have, you know, Chamir Lan Sreifas Beis Elokeinu for Tisha B'Av, you have a quasi Chamir Lan for Shiva Asar B'Talmuz, because Shiva Asar B'Talmuz has the Bitol HaTamid and the Nisoch Hayayin as well. And that will trigger, you know, a period of Avelos, if you will. That's a loaded term, but we'll come back to it. That was approach number one. Approach number two was to say that Shiva Asar B'Talmuz is really the gateway to Sreifas Beis Elokeinu, right? That once you have Shiva Asar B'Talmuz, and there you would focus not so much on the Bitul Tamid, but Akiva, which aspect becomes most prominent then, if you want to go with the second approach? Yom...
around the ear.
Yom Havkos Ha'ir, right? So the breaching of the city becomes the point, of the critical point, and then, you know, the tsaros become, you know, holchos, you know, v'chamuros b'chol yom v'yom. You know, every single day, it becomes more and more and more chamur with respect to, you know, the inevitability of the destruction. Makel shaked ani roeh ki shaked ani al dvari la so. So those are the two ideas, and we said that's probably a good explanation in terms of the minhagi Ashkenaz, whether it's an inyan in isumin tisporas ki luach, and then we saw yesterday even for some of the yechidim issues of tanis basar vayayim. So I wanted to pick up with the most prominent of those issues, certainly, which was the question of shehachianu. So let's take a look. So the Mechaber had said, Tovi Zoher, again, a little bit more tentative than, you know, saying this is categorically prohibited, but Tovi Zoher, Milomar Shachianu Ben HaMitzarim, Al Priyo Al Malbush, Avol Apidion Ben Omer, Lo Yachmitz HaMitzvah. So the Rama says, V'chein B'Pri Shalo Yimtza Achar Tishabav Mutu Levarech La'achlo, Bein HaMitzarim. So the Tov Li Zaher here of the Mechaber is mitigated a little bit by the Ramah. Where the Ramah says, look, you know, in general agreement about the chiluk between Shachianu in the context of mitzvos is a very broad discussion that some of us had, before the end of the official year, in terms of the Shachianu of Perek HaRoa versus the Shachianu of mitzvos. So the Shachianu of Perek HaRoa, whether it's Kana Kelim Chadashim or Roes Chavero, is a little bit on less solid footing than Shachianu in the context of Mitzvah. And we have Deos, I referenced yesterday, and the Gaonim, Rav Shira Gaon, who are very much in denial about the existence of the Shachianu on Malbush or on a Chaver altogether. So we're not shocked to find such a distinction playing itself out, an echo of that question in the Shulchan Aruch. But what I want to try to get into is, you know, what exactly is this all about? So the Beis Yosef source is it for us. Matzasi b'tshuvas Ashkenazi Slavarech Shachianu Bein HaMitzarim Kasa b'Sefer Chasidim Delo. The Sefer Chasidim would say no. And the obvious reason would be, you're going to say Shachianu Kiyimanu B'Giyanu L'Azman Hazeh. So how can you say that Bein HaMitzarim, if you really believe there's this existence of a time period which is, you know, fraught with all kinds of sakanos that we talked about yesterday, the Ketef Meriri. kigon pri o malbush avol yimikri pidyon ben in machmisin et hamitzvah o es habracha ad kan l'shono. So when you take a look, you know, here, I think you see something very fascinating in terms of the Sefer HaChassidim himself, that the Rama was actually, you know, not necessarily being makil against the Sefer HaChassidim, but the Rama, you can argue, maybe one of you will, is actually within the parameters of the Sefer HaChassidim. Yenis, and why? Because it doesn't sound like...
Rama seems to be sort of explaining the Sfar of the Sefer HaChassidim.
Exactly.
You're saying that's... Should
I explain? Yeah, you're exactly right. Go ahead.
So we're saying that the reason why you could be toifa for rotza, for you could only say you could say shechiano for what's on mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. And in a case over here where you're it's able where similarly you're not it's also theoretically a mitzvah, but you're not able to do it after Tisha B'Av, we're not gonna be so after, so to speak, and we're gonna let you make the bracha.
Yeah, so if you actually look, it's always very important, right? So lesson number one of learning in any discipline is you got to go to the primary sources. Don't take anybody's word for it. So the Sefer HaChassidim actually is not really drawing a distinction between mitzvah / pre-malbush. What the Sefer HaChassidim is drawing a distinction is efshar l'tchos or not. So he says, well, it's efshar not to do it, so, you know, why not push it off and not say shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'yenu l'zman hazeh during this period of the year. But if it's not, you know, that's what the Rama is saying, about, you know, you could conjure up a scenario where the pre is not going to be available after this time, or it's going to go bad. So it actually turns out that the Rama might actually really be operating within the basic parameters of the Sefer HaChassidim. Okay, so now more to the substance of the issue, once we've identified the Makor, and we realize that the Mechaber and the Rama might be closer than we imagined. So the Magen Avraham has a linchpin in the sukkah. Ben Sion, go ahead. So this is the Magen Avraham who has hits the most fundamental aspect of the sukkah. So he says on Shabbos he thinks it's mutter. Really interesting.
Ubish Shabbos, sorry.
Right, so that's really interesting, that even though it's the 17th of Tammuz, happened the last few years, right, that you really aren't going to start Bein HaMitzarim until you pass through Shavuos Arba Tammuz. Now, whether you hold the Svara number 1 or Svara number 2 that we suggested yesterday, we would think that that would make sense, right? Because if it's about the mourning period triggered by Shavuos Arba Tammuz and or the Chumrah of Shavuos Arba Tammuz, you're probably not going to be able to say that started without actually having Shavuos Arba Tammuz. But be that as it may, B'tam ho yisir.
B'tam yisir nerili came up to Azman ahu per anios ein levarech rapianu lezman azeh about in a time mishom abeilos the whole matinu sha'aval esu levarech rapianu.
Exactly right. So here the Magen Avraham says that, you know, you got to be very, very precise with your terminology. The issue that he sees with saying is shachianu, you know, whatever, and we'll come back to the Shabbos debate, shachianu v'kimanu v'yiyanu lazman hazeh is not an issue of
avelos.
Yes, it's an issue of puranos, but not an issue of avelos, because, you know, we have in a Mefurash HaGemara and Masech the Brachos, it talks about people, you know, losing their father and having to say, you know, Adayin Ha'emes and Hatova Meitiv and or Shachianu, depending on the circumstance. So, you know, how could it possibly be? And this Svara, you know, of trying to be Mechalik between Puranas and Avelos, which is a very subtle kind of a distinction, was just categorically rejected by who? Who said, this is just a bridge too far. I don't believe this. I don't accept this position of the Sefer HaChassidim in any which way. Let me see. I'm missing a bit. Ilan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Gaon says, give me a break. You know, if Avelos, halachic Avelos, is not going to mitigate a Shachianu, so don't tell me that, you know, this is somehow uniquely Puranos, and it will. Very fascinating. So, this is the fifth source there. The Gra says Chomer Yaseir he Dainan Chamurin me Avil Yom Hamisa Ramin Perik Avroa Amrulo me Saviv right etc. V'dak Avika Acher Bahadei. That's why you make the Hatov Ametiv. Alav Hachi Mevarech Shachianu. Afsha Magen Avram Dachak Atzmo Eino Klum. Right, so the Gaon, you know, not mincing any words over here. So the Gaon says, you know, we appreciate the Magen Avram's, you know, efforts. We can all appreciate his efforts in the base medrash. But brass tacks, halach lamaisa, to say that there's really some kind of a prohibition against saying a shachianu between Shivasar v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av is an absurdity. How could it possibly be that it's chamor from Avelos Yom Hamisa? You know, Avelos, Puranos, it's a very fascinating distinction that he wants to draw, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that you could have Puranos, which is more chamor than Avelos of Yom Hamisa. Okay. So that is a very frontal rejection, repudiation of the distinction of the Magen Avraham, right, in the most absolute terms. But let's now come back, just for a second, to the broader approach of the Magen Avraham, but with the nuance of Rabbi Akiva Eger's. You know, the Magen Avraham, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and the Vilna Gaon here, so we're dealing, you know, the Titans are clashing here. Okay, so David, go ahead. This is the Hagos Rabbi Akiva Eger. Fourth source.
Mishavas Shari, Bichuot Beyuda, Bistof, Hasef, Bim and Hagim, Oat Samachalif, Kain Shamati, Mimori, Zalde,
Who I did, Biom Rosh Chodesh.
Biom Rosh Chodesh, Dino, Kishavas.
Right, very fascinating thing. So, the question of Shabbos, he wants to revisit and say, well, if Shabbos, right, is not going to be included, if you take that approach, right, that was subject to the dispute that was cited by the Magen Avraham, so he thinks the same thing should be true, and Rabbi Akiva Eger is noting it approvingly here, with respect to Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's really interesting is that this seems to build very naturally off the distinction of the Magen Avraham himself. In other words, if the whole idea is that it's a tkufat Puranut, so then you can make the following claim. You could say, well, since it's not rooted in Avelos, the person would be an Avel on Shabbos. Yeah, it's true, you can't have Avelos before Hesed on Shabbos, but there's no fundamental stira between Avelos and Shabbos. But you might say that Shabbos becomes an oasis, an island, in a Zman of Puranus, because you can't say that Shabbos, which is a Yom Bracha, right, is a day of Puranus. And so the Rabbi Akiva Eger says, okay, well, what about Rosh Chodesh, right? Rosh Chodesh, right, is a status of a Moed, and Rosh Chodesh, you know, has a special karban. It doesn't have the formal Isser Malacha, but maybe, you know, we should, if we're really serious about this Puranas point, we should exclude, if we're going to exclude Shabbos, we should exclude Rosh Chodesh as well. Okay, so before we get into the question of the pre, which I want to come back to in a second, the Aruch HaShulchan, we don't have to see the whole thing inside, but the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, has a very, very telling rendering of this issue. So, of course, he goes through the fundamental sugya, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Sefer HaChasidim, the Magen Avraham, the Gaon, and what's the Aruch HaShulchan's conclusion here? In a certain sense, he's just reporting the facts as he sees them, but Ilan, go ahead.
We're only machmir from Rosh Chodesh, and he brings a suffix of whether that's like we're machmir from the second day or from first.
Okay, very good. In other words, and just to put it in the context of our discussion yesterday, he says, to whatever extent, go ahead, Ilan.
It's like he really doesn't agree with this whole Puranus Ben Amitzarim thing. It's we're only going to have the Avelus, like Mishanech Lachtam, machmir.
Exactly, exactly. So what you see here in the Aruch HaShulchan is, where the rubber hits the road, he says, you know, no. If we're going to base this on a tkufas purana, Yod Simcha is the existence of some measure of puranos, right? And so that appears, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan's kind of a compromised position appears very well calibrated in light of our discussion yesterday. It's much harder to sell the idea of, you know, ongoing Puranas from Shivasar B'Tammuz on. And this seems like a very, a very reasonable distinction, a very reasonable place to draw the line. And Ilan, as you know, with the same suffix about the question of Rosh Chodesh, the issue of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So I want to take this one step further now, and then hopefully be able to share what I hope is a little bit of a value-added perspective by getting into the question of priests. So we noted that the Sefer HaChassidim itself might lend a dispensation in the direction of the Ramah if you really had a situation where the pre was going to be Mikul, you know, the Tisha B'Av had passed. Okay, so Ephraim, go ahead. This is the second passage in the Gra, seventh source.
V'chein b'pri chulek, can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
Kimo shekasav Yerushalmi, also b'chein esadem chulek, Rabbi Eliezer hava chulek, u'pirush, b'pri chadash le'inyan shechiyanu.
Go ahead. So what's the Gra saying? The Gra is basically attacking this from one point of view. Yeah.
When the Yerushalmi says that basically someone who like you know avoids eating some new fruits, they're gonna give din for that because you should enjoy these new fruits and say shechianu on them. And so the point is that you know you can't say that if I'm not gonna have this fruit it's too bad because right the 9 days should override that because no right this is a very serious thing.
Right, so there's a great spiritual value associated with Hanoah min olam hazeh in a proper context, right? So what I think is going on here is the Gaon is saying, you know, okay, look, you know, we could try to rely on the, you know, sort of like on the back end on this idea that it's not, you know, efshar lidchos, but maybe we can try to collapse the distinction between pre and mitzvah. Right? And say that pre has aspects of mitzvah to it, based on this Yerushalmi. So the Gaon wants to make a very fundamental argument. The Taz probably thought that was a little bit too far. So, Ephraim, what did the Taz say? Taz is a really interesting raya from Tosfos.
Taz brings it back and says that basically... what's it called? It sort of like what the Ramah said that the fruit might be over. So he says, forget the fruit being over, you might be over.
Exactly.
And at every moment, you don't know if the next moment's going to be. Brings a riot from the fact that court cases, we say it's a davar ha'avud, and therefore you can bring do court stuff on cholam mode. And so that from that, he says that therefore you should not suspend your even for pre chadash. Your
Shechianus
during the 9 days.
Right, he has this great line there, you know, when he's discussing this, right? Because it could be the Melachas Chol HaMoed is an Isser Doraisa, right? And it's Misar Nakas of the Chachamim, which is the Heter of Davar Avad. So you're talking about a serious business here, and he says, right? He's talking about the, you know, the Bate Din, Hikilu Bisvarazo, Bitsarche Gavoa, Lasos Bracha, Kol Shekin, Shemichashash Zeh, Yemoher Lakayim, Kolzman, Sheyuchal Lakayim. That this shouldn't be conceptualized, right? This is where I think the Taz and the Gaon, Ephraim, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think this is where I think you have a kind of a nexus point between the Taz and the Gaon, because the Taz is calling it Tzarchei Gavoa, right? To make the bracha. If not so much the Hanah min olam hazeh, but it's adding the religious element into the experience of Achilas HaPri. So the Taz will say, no, you know, in the end of the day, we're not going to tell you to push off the Shechianu. So you see, what I like to call the resistance. you have this halacha, so to speak, or minag from the Sefer HaChassidim, and then the resistance comes out. The resistance begins in the Sefer HaChassidim itself. It's really only if you can make up the Shechianu later. Right? And so the Ramah says, well, you're not going to always be able to make up the Shechianu later on the Pri. And the Gaon says, you don't even need that, because, you know, it's spiritually meaningful, you know, to enjoy the pre. And the Taz says, and, you know, mi odeya ma yelad yom. And so a person should not take anything for granted. And really, this is tzarchei gavoa in its own right. And then you have, you know, resistance of the Gaon in a more fundamental way to the whole idea of withdrawing from Shechianu based on the Magen Avraham's chilek of Puranos. He says, how could it be that Puranos is any more chamor than Avelos in the halachic sense of the term? So there's massive resistance at every point along this Shechianu battle, you know, all along the front, so to speak. You know, there's massive resistance. There's not really much of a breakthrough, except that the Aruch HaShulchan notes is a minag widespread minhag that once, you know, misha nechnasav, then, you know, it would be consistent with the general mematin besimcha, not to recite the shehachianu. Question about Rosh Chodesh, same issue of Rabbi Kibeger, you know, he's another point of resistance, because if it's really based on Puranas, is Rosh Chodesh really Puranas? So anyway, there's a huge, you know, a huge discussion to be had here. So I just wanted to add in one thought, you know, about all of this, you know, which I think is, you know, predicated on some of the Rav's Torah, and then give Yenison the last word. So let's assume for a second, not like the Magen Avraham, like the Gaon. The Gaon doesn't accept this distinction between Puranos and Avelos. He says, well, what we're dealing with here is Avelos, and you can't possibly say that somehow this Avelos is going to be any more chamor than Avelos Yom HaMisa. It just doesn't believe that. So we know, and one of you guys will remind us, that what's the essence of Avelos according to the Rav? How did he explain that?
Hester Panim.
Right. So it's an experience of Hester Panim. That's really what Avelos is, right? And, you know, there's all kinds of things that you're not supposed to do, but really the experience is one that is an affirmative one of being alienated and isolated. Yeshev badad vidom kinatal alav. That's really the heart of the Avelos experience. So if the Gaon, and not the Magen Avraham, is actually correct about all of this, so then, you know, you have the following possible defense of this minhag. So the bracha of Shachianu is, I think, one of the most direct liturgical acknowledgments that we have of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Shehechianu v'kiimanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. I'm less focused on lazman hazeh right now, but that Hashem has given us life, He's sustained us, and He's allowed us to reach, right, the providential guidance that's enabled us to reach whatever this point is. So if you can reasonably determine that there actually is a strong motif of Avelos, perhaps not, as the Aruch HaShulchan notes, already in Bein HaMitzarim, though the Rav himself would have argued that that's parallel to Yud Beis Chodesh, but certainly once you're within the month of Av. So I think you can reasonably argue that the bracha of Shachianu, right, becomes contrary to the basic experience of the time, what we would call Avelos Yishana. You are in a state of Hester Panim. To note how God enabled you, breathed life into you, guided you to this point is a bit of a paradox. However, you might, within that framework, wish to draw one of two distinctions. Right? You might say that's true in general, but in the context of performing a mitzvah, which eo ipso is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, that might enable you to make the shehachianu anew. Right? That sort of breaks through the thick clouds of Hester Panim. The mitzvah itself generates the chibur, the tziruf, the sense of connection. And so that you might rehabilitate this distinction between, let's say, a pidyon haben on the one hand, or a pri and the malbush on the other. So I think that is at least a viable distinction. Alternatively, if you don't want to draw the line there, you might revisit the question of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And you might actually draw a line between Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. But if you wanted to suggest that Shabbos, yes, when it comes to Avelos Chadasha, there is no stira between Avelos and Shabbos. It's really just a question of not imposing your Avelos on the Tzibur. But when it comes to Avelos Yeshana, it seems to me that Shabbos is a very interesting question, right? We're talking about, you know, something that happened thousands of years ago. Shabbos is an os between
us and God.
Yeah. Beni uvei b'nei Yisrael os hi li olam. Not a trick question, right? It actually testifies to the idea of this ongoing, profound relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, which also pierces through, I think, whatever Hester Panim we might experience. So, ironically, Shabbos might be much greater exception to Avelos Yeshana than it actually is to Avelos Chadasha. And that will set us up for tomorrow, which is the entire question of Shabbos Chazon, right? The Ramah's Chumrah of Big Day Chol, or Kula, depending on how you formulate it, of Big Day Chol B'Shabbos. You think, well, I don't understand, you know, Avelos B'Farhesia. You know, it's like an open and shut case that this would be problematic. But I think we'll see that the relationship between Shabbos and Avelos Yeshana and Shabbos and Avelos Chadash is a fundamentally different kind of an equation. So what I'm suggesting, again, based on the Torah of the Rav, is to apply that back here. If the Gaon is correct, and Puranas versus Avelos is not a distinction that will withstand scrutiny, so we have to evaluate this in terms of Avelos. And the question is, what's the nature of this Avelos as a Avelos Yeshan of Hester Panim? And can we say the opportunity to perform a mitzvah breaks through and allows you to say, yes, we sense God's presence, and, or, would you be willing to say the same thing about Shabbos? Not because Shabbos is an island or an oasis in terms of Puranos, but that when it comes to Avelos Yeshana, Shabbos, and maybe even Rosh Chodesh, becomes a kind of an oasis where we do sense. I think Shabbos more so than Rosh Chodesh, frankly, because Rosh Chodesh is about our ability to be Mekadesh HaChodesh, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. But Shabbos, which is, you know, a testimony to the special relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa, I think is a very, very strong case to be made. I'll hold up my remarks here. So, Yenison